comes meet the sea in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, just salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Sheppa.
And I'm Kitty Norgard, and with us this week is, what was that? What are you laughing about, little Missy?
Oh, I'm just enjoying your company right now.
Our guest this week is a local comedian and a fellow podcaster, Mr. Taylor Morey is here.
Hi.
We're all very, it's late on a Sunday. We're doing our best.
I'm having a fucking great time. What are you guys talking about?
No, I realized I was like, I was just like, yeah, bed in the bed. This is what we're doing. And then I just had no steam at the end of my sentence. I was like, and Taylor's here, so here we are, and we're going to do this. How's everybody doing?
That's fine. That's generally the energy that's like, that introduces me. It's just like, oh, and he's here.
And so, he's here. Yeah. And he's here. He's not here. He is here now.
Yes.
You came from so far away. When you told me where you were coming from, I was so upset.
I feel really bad about it. I was why?
I've gone, like, for my own show, I've gone to, like, Coquitlam and North Van and Surrey for a show, so I don't mind. It's not that big.
But you just have to schlep around on transit? Like, do you listen to podcasts when you're doing that, or?
Just music, usually. Yeah. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, which is probably a weak point.
But, or not, because all we do is quote other podcasts on this podcast. So.
Okay, so yeah, then all mine is just original content and stories told twice. So.
We also do that. Yeah. We're covering all our shitty bases on the CX.
Yeah.
Oh boy. So yeah, you came from Steveston to be here, which we very much appreciate.
Mm. Thank you.
We'll give you at least a partial ride home, because that's so far.
On a Sunday, when the buses are the worst ever.
They're not at their best.
Yeah. My first bus leaving home was late, and then the one that I caught from Waterfront was late.
God, so you would have had two buses and a train at least, hey?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay, that's too much. Nobody should have to do that for this show.
Well, you know what? If this will give anybody a point of reference for where I live, I live about 5 minutes away from where that girl got grabbed by the sea lion.
That is a great point of reference.
Yeah.
It's where all of the whale-watching tours depart from.
Exactly.
Yeah, I drove you there once.
Yeah, so festive. Yeah. So, like, summary.
This is my friend Katie. We're here to see whales, and she drove me here.
It's like where all the things are filmed, right? Like, every time that they need, like, a little seaside town.
Storybrook Village.
We live right beside there.
From Once Upon a Time? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Godzilla was filmed there.
Why? There's no buildings.
It's because they needed a wharf. They filmed the wharf.
Oh, he has
there.
To come out of the water.
Yeah, exactly.
I think.
Yeah.
Is Godzilla a lady?
I think Godzilla's a woman. Godzilla is a strong, independent woman.
Well, depending on which... See, I've seen a lot of Godzilla movies, so depending on which iteration you believe in, Godzilla is either truly gender fluid so that it reproduces
my kind of monster.
With himself.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Life finds a way.
Life finds a way.
Careful.
Yeah, don't do Jeff Goldblum in Katie's presence because she might die.
I'm already kind of sweaty, so. So, you're a dork too, hey?
Yeah.
You're a podcast. You also are a caster of pods.
Yes.
And how long have you been doing this for?
That hurt me when you said it like that.
A caster of pods?
That hurt. It hurt.
Coming up with words as my mouth is moving is really challenging.
I throw
today.
Nets at families of whales, so I am a caster of pods.
A caster
net. Boo.
Oh, Jesus.
Magic miss.
Okay, but I have been listening to only the Adventure Zone exclusively and just all Dungeons & Dragons podcasts. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you've gone, like, uber nerd on us.
I have, and it really makes me want to... I used to have a lot of D20s and stuff, and now I kind of want them back again.
He's downloading PDFs of character sheets to fill in.
PDFs of character sheets? Excuse me, I would create my own original
Exactly,
one.
I have an OG nerd.
Excuse me.
I'm so sorry, Chris has been known to recreate her favorite television shows in The Sims 3.
I was doing Vampire the Masquerade before there were even PDFs that existed. Like, it was just like, you'd have a book and you'd create your own, you'd decorate the sides with, like... tea stain and you'd burn it
Is this what started you on the bullet journal train?
Probably.
What's Vampire the Masquerade?
It's like
what?
I'm a nerd, but I don't know it.
Yeah.
It's like just another tabletop RPG.
Okay.
And you can LARP it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can LARP anything.
You can LARP anything if you put your mind to it.
But it basically, it had like a bunch of different classes of vampires and you would have various adventures and journeys and stuff.
Okay. But
it was
a shithead dandy.
whole mythos of vampire stuff. It was very good. It had its own, like, game, whatever.
Its own universe.
Yeah, its own universe.
I drink his foul blood, and then I am vampire. And that's Peter, and we're still friends today. Oh, God, guys.
But I really am so into Dungeons and Dragons because it's like a really, really good story. And mm-hmm. then I heard about like how much work Griffin puts into writing the story and mm-hmm. then producing all the music and everything for it. I'm like, I want to do that. Also, that sounds like so much work and I don't want to do that.
It really is like it's almost taking, I don't think it was the first one to do role playing on a podcast. Are you familiar with The Adventure Zone?
No.
This is Do You Know My Brother and Me? They're relatively prolific.
Like I know of them.
You know of them. So it's the same guys with their dad playing Dungeons and Dragons, like, every 2 weeks.
But they took it to the next level by, like, actually doing, like, radio-style, like, edits and interludes and music.
Oh, wow.
And whatever.
Yeah, it's fully produced. It's like, all any of them do as a job is podcasts now, pretty mm-hmm. much. So it's really beautifully done, and it is, like, a whole new way of telling stories, and it's a whole new way of making a podcast at the same time. So it's, like, very, very amazing. I don't think they're the first ones to do RPGs, like, live in that way, but they definitely have the biggest following, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
anyway, whatever. I'm just like, I'm doing so many more chores in my house because I'm like, oh, all I want to do is listen to this podcast.
So you have to keep your hands busy.
Well, otherwise, what do? You just sit and stare at a wall?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've been washing dishes, doing the laundry, you know, basic human shit that you're supposed to be doing.
Yuck.
He's just taking basic human shits while you're listening to them. Yeah.
No! Gross, Katie.
Gross.
Well, I've made a basic human shit, if you will find.
You may find that I've done this. So that is like double dork. So we are podcast dorks. We love to listen to them. You don't listen to them so much. So what made you start making one?
I just wanted to, I think, just talk without having to be funny all the time. Because there are like stories or just things that I wanted to talk about that it would be easier to just say it rather than write it.
Right.
And I think, and then to, you know, have it be funny sometimes, but that's not the main goal of it all the time.
It's just unintentional and in the moment.
Yeah. That's what I like.
If it emerges organically.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That's our theory with this one. We'll see.
But that's true. If you were a stand-up, like, you are a stand-up, and so, like, to sit down and, like, write everything is, like, a little bit painstaking and having to, like...
Yeah. I don't write a lot, and I should write more. I should also perform more and do a lot other...
Shouldn't we all be doing things a lot more, though?
Yeah, really.
And yet,
I think the Vancouver Forum really needs to be writing jokes more right now.
Yeah, that was a directive to us from Mr. Kevin Banner. Was, hey yes. guys, don't forget to write some jokes.
Yes.
Wait, what? Tell me about this.
Oh no, there's just been a lot of chaos with all of the Louis, all of the upheaves.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, just making it cash. The upheave.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's a lot of like.
Soul
I saw Goody Proctor dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight, and I think Fatima Doré is a witch, or something like that, you know? Past guest, Fatima Doré is a witch. Yeah, I saw,
Now I know how to say your last name.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm here to help. She's not a witch, as far as I know. Yeah. We are, though.
Okay.
We almost certainly are.
That's fine.
Welcome to the lair, Taylor.
Thank you.
You will not get out alive! You probably will.
Yeah, I don't think I was when I came in, so that's okay.
It's already dead on the inside. Let's just get it matching.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Lord. So when was your first podcast recorded?
I don't remember the date, but it was...
What a terrible father you are.
I know. I probably would be. it was just over 2 years ago. It was sometime in 2015.
Right on.
It was mid 2015.
Yeah, you've been doing stand up about as long or longer?
A little bit longer. My very first open mic was October 12th, 2012.
Okay.
But for a few years it took me many months between them.
Oh yeah.
Just because I'd never done anything on stage before, any performative, so it's just I still had really bad stage fright and everything.
You have to like spend 3 months psyching yourself up to do it again.
Yeah, pretty much.
No shit, of course.
Well, yeah. If I take a week off, it takes me so much time to like actually go and do a spot. Like I hate it. I hate doing comedy.
Oh, it's just the worst. There's
it's
other
terrible.
People there.
You have to talk to them with your mouth and use your ears to hear them. Ugh.
Respond to things
that
they
say. The brain
must
go, I hate. I tired. And I didn't even have to come out here from Steveston.
So it took you a while to, like, kind of psych yourself up to, like, keep going more regularly. Yeah, and so... yeah.
And so I guess in earnest, been doing it since, like, late 2014.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. It's hard to do. All of it's very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, like I said, it came out from Steveston, so every night it was like, I don't want to fucking take a hour-long transit ride to get maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, that is the really hardest thing. Like, I'm so grateful that I have a car now that I can use, because I couldn't when I first started doing stand-up, and so it was really dependent on whether or not Tessa could drive me.
When did you get your car?
Oh, we've had it for a couple years now. Okay. But I started, I'm almost at 3 years of stand-up, I guess. Mm. And yeah, just, like, trying to take the bus. Like, I just go to 7, because it's like, that's just one train and one bus. You know, it's only 45 minutes to get there. So it's cool. But yeah, the whole, like, oh, just commuting for anything is so horrible. It makes sense to me why so many comics live, like, in the West End or, like, near Main Street and whatever. Mm-hmm. Because it's really, really hard to motivate yourself to do something, especially when you're not, like, great at it yet, which I don't think anybody is till they've been doing it for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so to go and do something that you might not be good at in front of a bunch of people who are going to watch it.
Yeah.
It's like, how do I motivate myself to do this?
But at home I have all my needs met. I have all my food and all my...
There's a toilet where no one's going to listen to me do things. Hey, this is the fourth time you've mentioned toilets today.
There's a toilet where I hope somebody's going to listen to me do things.
Yeah, home is where the toilet is.
Yeah, well, what actually made you want to even go and do stand-up in the first place, then?
Watching George Carlin.
Okay.
Probably grade 9, I found him. Like, I kind of knew of him.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, I watched Shining Time Station. And so he was Mr. Conductor
on that. Lots of... him and Ringo.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I love the Beatles in stand-up comedy. I play drums and do stand-up.
Yeah. I wish I was musically talented at all, but which would really help this band that I'm trying to, like, do.
Being in a band is highly helped by musical talent. Yeah. I recommend it. Having been in a band and without possessing very much musical talent, it's hard.
I don't have to, like, bother other people because it's just me.
So far.
Yeah.
So are you using, like, a sampler, or...?
I have a lot of things that take up a lot of room, and much to my girlfriend's annoyance.
Yeah.
Well, you don't even have that big of an apartment, but...
It takes up a lot of room.
Yeah, it's just on a wall. But, like, I've got a guitar and a bass and a cura. Do you know what that is?
Is that like an Asian instrument, or...?
Yes, it's a Mediterranean...
I thought you said Akira.
His name's Akira. it's a Middle East, like, Mediterranean Turkish, like, lute.
Okay.
And it's, like, this big, and it weighs 2 pounds.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it makes a really cool sound. I don't know.
That sounds great. It sounds kind of like a balalaika or something, but smaller.
Yeah, it's very similar.
I love the sounds of those. It just makes me think of, like, very shiny men flirting with me and offering me an olive.
They're just kind of gold, bald men.
Yes.
And
named Stavros and Eristos. And they're like, I'm like, how old are you? He's like 85 and his hair is still black as the night.
200.
Okay, clearly I've been thinking about this a lot. My fantasy is constantly like, Chris and I run away to Santorini or something like that, or to Crete. We just eat phyllo pastry with honey and gross old men hit on us all
day. Why not? Like, who cares if you're homeless? Because you get it, like, oh, where do you live? I live in the fucking...
I have $10,000 in Greek money. That's a bajillion.
Yeah, I bought this county.
There are, like, full small towns that you can buy in lots of places in Europe that are sadly destitute.
Oh, that's so sad.
It is very sad. And
let's go buy them all.
Yeah, go buy it, and then I'll just be your lord, and you can all be my fiefs.
My serfs. This is my fiefdom.
Yeah.
Let's bring back that.
Medieval feudalism.
It was like serfs. What was it called?
Feudalism. I think that's antithetical to our worldview, but
shit. Fuck, every time I get a great idea, so it's like, hey,
you elect a lord.
Evil.
You just have to make it a kibbutz, but with you being kind of the best kibbutzer. Like, I'm kind of the best one with the best ideas that everyone listens to.
Yeah. Benevolent
I'm not
dictator.
Like a chief or anything, yeah.
That's exactly.
Yeah. I've always thought I would be like a good, chill despot, you know? Like, just do what I say, please. And they're like, oh, please. Wait, what about, like, but do it. Can you just go right ahead and just do it, please?
I am the one with all the guns. I don't want to pull them out. You just know I have
guys,
them.
I don't want to use them. I'm not going to use them. Just remember, I got them.
But this one on my hip is not for show.
It's just, no, this is just, what? It just goes with my outfit, guys. Yeah. Guys, you keep assuming the worst.
Yeah, you guys know how good I look in like a structured blazer with jodhpurs
and
a gun
several
belt.
Bandoliers.
Bandolero is very slimming.
Yes,
absolutely. I just think it really like draws the eye to my midsection, gives me the hourglass figure I've always wanted so badly.
Feel like an X-Man.
I feel like an X-Man.
So please do what I say.
So yeah. Please do what I say or I will kill you. It's fine. It's fine.
There's a mass grave, but there's only like three people in it.
Yeah. So you were posting, so the reason I invited you, the reason I brought you to this podcast is to test for paternity. No, it is.
Yeah.
You posted something on Facebook that I thought was really funny, which was just like, does anybody else feel crushing, horrific fear every time you ask somebody to be on your podcast? Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, even people that have promised to do it. I, like, talked to Morgan Brayton. I'm like, could you maybe be on my podcast? He's like, I'm there now.
Yeah, would you, could you?
Could you please? Yeah. Like, doing an ask for something is the worst feeling.
Yes. I feel the same. Like, a lot of the people, I've only had two people on that I've known previously.
Like that you that you knew them as people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you are calling strangers. You're like cold calling.
Yes.
That's horrifying.
Holy shit.
One was a friend that I used to work with, and one was Mark Hughes.
Okay.
And otherwise, like, and then the only other local people I've had on was Simon King, and up to that point I hadn't known him, and then Ed Hill, who contacted me.
Oh, cool.
So
I like Ed.
I posted on the forum, because... You know, and nobody gave a shit, but...
Yeah, they're like, nobody cares about your podcast. It's like literally written in the heading.
Yeah.
So I haven't posted anything about the podcast.
But I think it was around the time of, like, when everybody was promoting for the Just for Laughs Northwest last year.
Okay.
So I said, if anybody wants to, like, promote your thing...
Yeah, come do my podcast.
Yeah. You're more than welcome to, and go ahead.
So you got it.
Yeah.
Son of Smiley.
Do you do yours live on location or do you call in or?
It's always been, I've done one phone interview. I've done three printed interviews, Simon being one of them. And then the rest is all live. So I've had a couple come to my house and then otherwise I just go and meet them somewhere.
Right on. You've had like a couple pretty good pulls, hey?
Yeah, I always shoot above my league. For literally everyone has been.
Yeah, but you know what? Like the worst thing anyone can say is no, and it turns out some people will say yes.
Yeah,
they'll just show up because they're just cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's been well. This is one I'm gonna brag about a little bit.
Please do brag away. That's what this is for.
I had my favorite musician on, who we spoke about, Devin Townsend, on.
He's very cool.
And because he came to my fucking house.
He just came to your house in Steveston.
Yes.
From his castle in Port Coquitlam or wherever he lives.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And he, like, because we talked and we set it up eventually. And at the time I was working at a lounge at the airport. So I just, like, as a thank you, I got him and his family in before they went to Edmonton.
Right.
And, yeah, and then he's just like, hey, I have to go into Richmond that day. I'll just, you know, come to you. I'm like, okay.
Wow, so Devin fucking Townsend's on your podcast.
Yeah, so he's sitting at my dinner table for when we just talked for an hour.
Yeah, and what kind of wisdom did he have to impart to you?
I guess you have to listen to the fucking podcast.
Okay, well, I'll link it. For fuck's sake!
Let's not give away any secrets. We have to divert attention back to the... steal all the gold.
I don't mean to... You know, major spoiler or anything, but we did talk about music.
Okay, no shit, hey?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Somebody who's just really done a lot for Vancouver in general. Like, he really, like, mm-hmm. just that he keeps setting up shop here, you know, and...
Yeah.
And promoting a lot of local people. Like, I've seen him, I've seen Gene Hoglan, the drummer from Strapping Young Lad.
Yeah.
And I think he was for Fear Factory for a while, wasn't he? Okay, so he's, like, pretty big deal. They call him the Atomic Clock, because he keeps perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's the biggest man I've ever seen. He looks like Grimace, but the costumes come off.
He's just that
he's
size.
He's just, like, built.
He just looks like a jujube, basically. He's just, like, sort of a thick triangle.
Well,
Thick triangle on her sleeve.
I don't know this one.
It's a Weezer something. But I was trying to do a Weezer something.
But back when I was a, I was doing like concert photography for like local bands, I would go out to see heavy metal shows and photograph my friend Brian's bands. And Gene Hoglan would almost always be in the crowd just watching.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, and I think I saw Mr. Heavy Devi himself a couple of times too, because he just sort of looks like a human goblin. So he's easy to pick out.
Yeah.
He had a skullet for a long time.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Which, for anyone who doesn't know the portmanteau, it was just not even business up front. Like, it was just gone. It's just shiny. Yeah, just it. Very shiny and some scraggle in the back. A very scraggly party.
The riffraff, if you will.
The riffraff. The Uncle Ken, you might even call it. That was my Uncle Ken's favorite hairstyle in the 90s.
I like your Uncle Ken already.
Oh, you don't. He's a very bad person.
Oh.
I love him, but he's terrible.
Okay.
That's family. Fair.
That can that's not an entirely like
uncommon way to feel about your family.
Yeah, yeah. They're terrible, but I love them.
Yeah, yeah. He likes to go mudding up in Prince George.
Define mudding.
Define mudding, okay? You take your four-wheel vehicle,
oh,
and you go splashing on through a big old mud puddle.
Okay.
You get mud on you. It's a good time.
I like that your Prince George uncle has a southern deep accent. South.
Yeah.
I thought you were thinking, like, mudding like something else.
Like you would go exploring within some mud?
No.
Oh, just like taking the Hershey Highway or something?
Like fisting.
Oh, no! Oh, my God, you listen to too much Jim Norton. Who's coming to town very soon? I've yes, been on your podcast.
Yes. What? Jim Norton was on your podcast?
Yeah, he was my one phoner. I went to Seattle. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I really find
we have a very soft spot for
I
him.
Find Jim Norton so endearing. I will go see him at the Vogue when he comes for the comedy festival.
What are you whispering?
We'll see if he's on the camera.
You hope to get him again for another time.
That would be great. That'd be so cool.
I would like to talk to him. It's like I think that he would get a kick out of
he's a very sweet man. Yeah. He's a sweet little boy.
He's a sweet, tiny little man who just would be pretty psyched to be, bookended by two curvy, sweaty women.
Vikings.
Yeah. The turnip in the tree or something like that.
I don't know.
Is that our children's book?
This just suddenly got gross and I am not into it. But I like Jim Norton a lot.
Yeah. He's great. You've said gross things about him before.
I know.
Like
he's
what?
Not in the mood for it.
Nothing that I'm gonna say on recording.
Okay, what did she say?
Oh! That little face. If only you could see it, listener. It was very pouty and angry and cute.
No. Have you ever watched ASMR videos?
Oh, I love them.
I hate them.
You hate them, yeah.
There was a woman I watched. Like this black lady. It's not important that she was black. But it's
but you said it.
But it's a description that she was like eating a pickle, like really close to a, ironically, the same microphone that I have, which is a Blue Yeti.
Okay.
And I was like, I wish I could reach through my screen to shoot this woman.
Oh, no! Or just turn it off.
No.
No, it's not enough. I want this video to not exist.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't listen to the ones that have eating, because that's disgusting.
Yeah.
But
is that ASMR for some people? Like eating noises?
Yeah, mouth sounds and eating noises are a big part of like the subculture. And playing with slime.
Ew.
Like, yeah, I don't like that. I like the ones that pretend to just massage your head.
Well, is it sexual?
Well, it gives me a boner. No, I think for some people it is, but not for me.
I think it's just supposed to be, like, just calming waves. Like, it's supposed to relieve anxiety a little bit, so it's like...
I mean, it either works for you or it doesn't. If it grosses you out, it's not working.
It just makes me angry. It's not even like, gross.
Stop whispering.
Yeah, I kind of have the opposite, where it's, like, really delicate whispering or any brushing on anything that just gives me the, like, reverse creeps. Like, it just, like, is so... The reverse creeps? Yeah, that's correct.
Or just the creeps.
Yeah, but just, it goes up my body and it's like so gross. I just hate it so much.
How does the other creeps go? Do they go down your body?
I get chills and then creeps, I guess, go
up. Okay,
chills
come down, creeps come up.
Yeah.
They sure do.
Ayo.
Oh.
Gross.
And see, now all I could think, now that we've turned this into a blue podcast, is like that vine of the guy stirring macaroni and cheese.
That's what good pussy sounds like.
And his grandmother's right there, his mom is right there.
Like, my horrible son! That's how I talk about men I like all the time. It's like, have you met my horrible son? Mark Hughes is a horrible son.
I love him, though. He It's a delight.
We had a really kind of funny experience, actually, doing the, there was a very short-lived show that was happening at the, what's the name?
Brighton.
The Brighton. Mm. It was like, there was three of them, and they didn't go very long, and Mark and I were on the first one, and I went up before he did.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, his whole set, he just made fun of me the whole time, which I'm like, perfect, no problem. But I've also never said anything to him, negative, to his face, or even about him behind his back.
And
I've
he's just
been
like, well, I guess Katie Norgren's going to judge me for this. It's like, you're the avatar of every disapproving woman ever, which I think is your aesthetic.
Yeah, absolutely. I just thought, you were getting defensive for me. You were like, this is mean. I was like, this is Mark. It's fine.
Yeah, but I'm your ride or die bitch, so I will stand. And I'm not in the comedy scene, so like whatever.
It's, sure.
When people are like, I'm like, they're mean. It's like, that's just comics being comics. I'm like,
yeah. I was kind of like, huh, I'm not exactly sure what I did to deserve this other than just be a perfect like foil for him. And that was what he said.
You
like,
guys
2 weeks
should be
later,
wrestling buddies together.
Should be a terrible tag team. He came up to me like a week later and said, hey, I think I went a little too far with that. I'm really sorry. I'm like, it's I forgot about it, honestly. It's totally cool. But he's like, yeah, I think I'm being overly familiar with you. And that hit something in my brain. I was like, I don't think he was being overly familiar with me. I think it was perfectly acceptable what he was doing. It was like, well, nobody was really laughing at it. So, I mean, as far as that goes, maybe it wasn't working. Yeah. But I thought it was pretty funny. And I love attention. So regardless of whether it's positive or negative.
Well, maybe it's just if it wasn't getting laughs, that he just thought it wasn't being well received or something.
Yeah, so or they thought that he thought I thought it was mean or something like that. And I was like, no, it didn't really make sense because I've never really spoken to you before.
Okay.
The overly familiar thing is very self-reflective then.
But it was. Like, yeah, it was like very much like that's the language of someone who's definitely gone to a therapy or two, for sure. Because I realized something that I fucking hate it when people are overly familiar with me, especially if they know me through somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then they like immediately come up and like try to wrap me in a huge ass hug or something like that. And I'm just like, what are you doing? And I realize that I'm not as nice and approachable as I think that I am.
Well, some people, like, are they hugging you just because they know you, or
like,
are
they
just
know
huggers?
Me through some, or they're huggers or something like that. And I think I look like a hugger. Mm. I think I come across as one, and I'm not physical person. Like, I'm down to hug usually if I've met someone at least once before.
Yeah.
But
it's not a good intro move.
No, it's the thing is, it's like, if someone was like, do you hug? I would be like, yeah. All they have to do is ask, kind of. Yeah. I'm like, sure I do. If somebody is just like, I'm like,
I just go like this.
Yeah, I just do that. I get the creeps and chills at the same time. And my body doesn't know what to do. And just my skeleton just shoots out of my belly button. Or ass, whatever you prefer.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Whatever you're into.
Whatever, whichever way they've approached me, it shoots out the opposite way, trying to get away from them. God help you if you hug me from behind. Lord.
That's gross.
Yeah, it's gross. We're gross. All gross, so.
There's nothing wrong with it. People are gross.
People are gross. And that's why Jim Norton has a comedy career.
Exactly.
Because he's gross.
And he just approaches it in, like, such a delightful way, though, where it's just like, yep.
This is what I'm like.
This is what I'm like, and I'm just being extremely into it. But, like, not at the same, don't want to invoke the name, but, like, other comedians that talk about how gross and disgusting they are, but it's just like, played off as like, that's because I'm so intelligent about it or whatever, and it's like Jim Norton's just like, yeah, I'm fucking whatever.
No, right? I'm a filth baby.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he blew his friends under the porch when they were like 9. So.
I'm a chum bucket. he's a disturbed person who's figured out how to make it work for him.
I adore him.
Which I can kind of appreciate is when you take the pathology of your life and turn it into something functional or semi-functional. That's better than a lot of us ever managed to do, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm doing that super well. It's like I'm just being a doormat everywhere I go until I'm not, and then everyone thinks I'm a bitch.
Our last episode had some good personal and professional growth, so
it's true. I've been working on
it. What was your last one?
Oh, we did just the two of us. We hadn't seen each other for about a week and a half, so it was just like, blah, 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 blah. We're friends. We're best friends. Nanner natter. That's how we usually do an episode. But it was good.
That's a thesis of our podcast.
We're friends.
You should make that your tagline.
Yeah, well, we've been trying to come up with a way to really sort of, like, creatively explain it or effectively and efficiently explain it. It just isn't happening.
Yeah.
It's just like, we don't have a theme. We just talk.
Yeah.
It would probably be helpful if we did have a theme or had questions that we asked.
You just have to have, like, like a nautical theme, like a nautical question.
So if you were a type of
boat,
I would be a frigate because I think
it's a bold choice,
right? You see, because a frigate is large
and in charge.
Large, gray, and cold. But it's also a fun word to say.
Okay, yeah.
So I think it would be a frigate.
Okay. Forget about it.
Just forget about it. What about you, Chris? What kind of boat would you be?
I would be a caravel, probably. One of the first naval units that could explore across the oceans and find new worlds.
Oh, heavens.
Yeah.
Just... Do you feel like an explorer sometimes?
Yes, I do sometimes. Yeah.
What kind of vessel?
I would be a converted trawler.
Like how we all just had those at the ready too.
I was gonna say a fast sloop or something like that, but I was like, no, I'm totally a converted trawler. I'm like an old fish boat that got turned into like a really funky houseboat, and some like, I don't know, fucking Miss Frizzle lady is just tooting around in it. That's the kind of boat I am.
When the sun hits me just right, you can still smell all the fish.
Where's that from, The Simpsons?
No, I don't know.
That's just off the dome, baby.
The boat's personality is so cute.
Because
you live in Steveston, you've been exposed to a lot of different kinds of boats.
I know what boats sound like.
I know what boats are. Excuse me,
McKatie, but I live near boats. I think I know what their voices are like.
I've heard them talking to me many times at night.
Exactly. I just sometimes go walking on the docks at night and hear all the boats speak to me.
I see a person, I hear a splash, and they're not there anymore.
Steal my Zodiac, Tanner. Rob a bank on the boat. I don't know, the boat wants you to take its Zodiac away and go steal something from an ocean bank.
You find the Zodiac Killer sign on just boats randomly.
The Zodiac Killer.
Still out there and is a boat.
But it's like a Zodiac.
Yeah,
like
the Zodiac Killer. That's why they never found it, because it just deflated itself and like hid in a shed. And also they expected it to be a human. Yeah. So they never looked for a boat.
Yes, it was a perfect crime.
The perfect crime.
We found paddle marks near all the... I don't understand, it was on land.
Okay, what boat is the most likely kind of boat to be a murderer other than a Zodiac? A fast sloop.
A cigar boat.
Okay. Is that like something that takes cigars from Cuba to Florida or something?
Yes.
Okay.
They're speed boats. They're very quick. They're narrow and they're like, yes. That's exactly what they are. They're very quick.
I think a river barge, like you have in the UK, like along all the canals and stuff, because you could totally, it would just like mosey up on you while like your friends are like drunk by the canals, like whatever, and then you'd like fall over and then suddenly like a rope just like around your ankles and just whoops you in.
Yeah.
It's a Stephen King novel, I think.
Oh my God, that's definitely Christine with boats.
Yeah, totally.
Christine with boats.
I thought you said Christine what with boats. No. Because that was the perfect
sentence. No, that is the name of the book, Christine. It's a car that's possessed.
Oh, I know the...
Yeah, okay, just making sure that we're on the same.
I just really liked it. It was like, it's Christine, but what with boats? And that just made me really happy. The extra syntax.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, sorry. I was like, what? Yeah, I thought you said... I said your name. No. Which is Christine, not... Which I don't ever call you. I'm tired.
That's okay.
That was a lot.
There was a lot of boat humor.
Yeah, so now you've tied it in an aquatic theme with sea hags. So it's like
this is the first time we've ever been on brand, apart from that one episode we did about a nautical voyage.
Ah, well, there you guys go. You're welcome.
It's been like 2 years almost, though.
So much for bringing us back to ourselves.
our roots.
Yes, our very wet roots.
It's like a kelp forest.
It's a kelp forest that we live in.
I heard a cool thing about a coral reef that's getting revived.
Tell me all about it. It's ocean news with the sea.
There's a Scottish like seabed that was getting dredged for scallops.
Yeah.
And they would like actually take like literal claws along the seafloor and just like grind up everything and then like a plow or something.
Yeah.
Metal claw, and then they'd pick it up and then they'd sort the scallops out and just toss the rest of the shit back.
Yeah.
And these divers were like, ugh, when we got to the seafloor.
Was that their actual quote?
I'm not able to find any coral.
There we go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so they're like, we saw the seafloor that looked like a plowed field and we were so horrified. And so then we wrote a complaint to Europe.
Dear Europe. I am very upset to see.
Who's in charge of Europe? I need to talk to them.
Dear Angela Merkel.
And then in the video, it was like, and then Europe took our complaint serious.
Hello, it's me, Europe. I'm a mix of all the things that are dumb.
And they took the complaint seriously, and they made that a protective conservation area. And so after 2 years, the coral reefs rebuilt themselves.
They just started throwing haggis down in there, and it all just built off of it.
Some Highland coo carcasses.
But there's more Scottish dolphins now than there were before. Isn't that cute?
They sound like crows.
Your sister is a slag!
That's what they say when they're flopping past. Because dolphins are assholes.
Well, I mean, the most dolphins that you see are by Aberdeen, so that checks fucking out.
Your sister's a slag!
Aberdeen's a bit of a trash head.
Oh. Suck on that, Aberdeen. What are you going to do about it?
It's just such an industrial town that it's like when you go out at night, it's just men that work on oil rigs. I felt very unsafe.
Oilman. When you were in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
With the Scottish dolphins.
Oh my god.
Okay. Oh, it's a fun time. Okay. You had a weep there. Do we need to take a little break?
No.
Okay.
We're back.
I'm still chewing.
Oh.
I'm done.
We're back.
Katie has finished chewing.
Nom, nom, nom.
It's a rehearsal downstairs has turned into a lesser rehearsal than I thought. A bunch of people canceled at the last minute. So
whoopsie.
So the sounds that you're going to start hearing coming from the basement are the lovely tones of Jesus Christ Superstar and some other stuff.
Ooh, which song?
Tanya said it's Heaven on Their Minds by Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't know that one. It's very good. It's like it's Judas.
Oh, nice.
Singing, and
he's the bad one.
But like in this,
he's the naughty
one. In Jesus Christ Superstar, he's a little bit of a like narrator character, and it's just like, Jesus, what the fuck are you doing? Like, we're occupied.
Jesus, what the fuck are you doing? You can't do that shit anymore.
It's like, but they're occupied under the Romans, so like, stop stirring up shit and stop getting people to like gather to you.
Yeah.
Because they're not thinking about right now, they're just thinking about heaven. They're not thinking about their real lives. They're gonna get fucking killed by the Romans, so like, stop it.
Stop it,
That's what the song is. It's
stop
very
it, Jesu.
I saw Tim Minchin do a version of that. It's very like atheist chic. Like.
Oh, yeah. He's so atheist chic. I still love him. He's still the nicest celebrity I've ever met in my life.
You've met him?
He's wonderful.
I hope he like here?
When was the last time? I went to Seattle to see him in 2011. Oh. So it was a while back. Oh, okay. And he's very much like that sort of aggro atheist, but I still love the music he makes.
But he's not that aggro.
Well, he was for a while. He might not be anymore because he's so busy like making Broadway shows and stuff. But
like agricultural.
Yeah, but he was aggro, not aggro. Aggressive. He played Jesus or not Jesus Judas in the Australian like tour of that or something like Jesus Christ Superstar.
Which explains why he totally just fucking nailed that part.
No, he was...
Oh God, pun intended.
I think actually one of the Spice Girls was in it too. I think Mel C was in it, which is nice. Kind of crazy. Always my favorite still. Anyhoozle. Yeah, he was lovely. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. Went to see him in Seattle at the Neptune Theater in 2011. And after he was like just finishing up playing a fucking cover of Hallelujah, because of course, just playing the piano in his bare feet. Right.
So
he's
pretty.
He's like, so, you know, if anybody just wants to stay behind and, get a glass from the bar, I might just be around. So he like went and had a shower and put on a new outfit and like came out and just talked to us for like half an hour.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. And I met him and got a picture with him, which was very nice. And then when we were all kind of ready to leave, I was like, do you mind if can I just get another hug from you? And I was just like being a goof.
Yeah.
I would hate it if somebody said that to me, but he was like, of course, darling, you're beautiful. Which was just like, So he told me I was beautiful and he gave me the nicest hug. So
aww.
Tim Minchin's cool as shit. And
that's
very
good to
talented.
Hear.
Yeah. Love him. But what else were we talking about? I was just brought up to mention for some reason. Oh, because Jesus Christ Superstar. Mm-hmm. So our New Year's party is being planned to the depths. We are doing musical covers. Chris is doing a set.
Can I tell you about my drum recital?
Please.
Yesterday?
Tell us.
So our good friend and past guest on the podcast, Allison, is taking drum lessons right now to just like get her technique like to the next level, right?
She's very good.
And she's, like, she is fucking killing it. That's her downstairs. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, normally she was, like, a little more timid as a drummer, and now she's, like, so giving it. So good. So for her drum lessons, they asked her to write an original song. And so she wrote a drum piece, and then I wrote a cello piece to accompany that.
Ooh.
And it was very interesting because it was this very weird abstract drum piece, and I was like, well, I'll just write a weird abstract kind of cello piece, but it winds up with me shredding just like da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na on the cello. And then we got our bass player and our band to, like, do some other cool shit underneath, and I use my loop station a bunch.
Ooh.
And so it's a 2-minute song, and this drum recital was the cutest thing ever.
Were there a bunch of children?
Yes. Yeah, so it was like ages 7 to 10 in the first recital, and then I think 11 to...
And up.
11 to 14, basically. And so
smoke that 12-year-old.
Yeah, I know.
Suck it, kid.
Well, yeah. No, see, this is the problem. When we were practicing, sure, the first thing that burst out of me, and I had contained it, and it made me laugh so hard, but the thought that came, we're going to blow the dicks on these kids.
Sure.
But then I... We're gonna blow the dicks off these kids. But then the best part was that I swallowed it and I was like, oh no. And then I finally said it out loud and then everyone laughed.
That is so unbelievably funny. So did she blow the dicks off those kids?
Yeah, we did, because I hope so. There was, like, a bunch of kids that, like, these two really extremely cocky kids got up, and they were just, no, that's not what I...
No, I'm just thinking of, like, these fucks are in for it.
Yeah, like, they already saw me set up the cello and whatever, but they were like, we're a surprise thing, because they were from a different teacher, and they were, like, crashing the recital.
We're from a different school.
Yeah, and so they were kind of crashing the recital to be like, we didn't get a chance to play at, like, my recital, so, and they played Nirvana.
Boo.
Nah, it was good. That's smells like Teen school. Spirit. It's like
the most common one.
But they were like, sure, they were like 12, and that's very cute that they're still doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids are okay.
No, fuck that. Those angsty little
But they were like pretty, like, whatever. They were just like, yeah, we're starting a new band. We're looking for singers and bass players, and they look at my bass player and they're just like, do you want a 30-year-old man to join your band?
He's like, I'm sorry, are you looking for a stepdad? I'll spank you and put you to bed. Get the fuck out of here, you little shit.
But they did a very good job. But the whole
time. But then you blew their dicks off. with your music.
But the whole recital was very cute because it was just like kids playing along to tracks, which is just extremely cute. And some of them could keep time and some of them could not keep time. And some of them came in and out. But like one little sweet kid who looked like the kid from Up dedicated a song to his grandma, and it was an Elvis song. It was Jailhouse Rock. So he got that. It was so cute. And then there was a father-daughter combo that played Kim Mitchell, Might As Well Grab a Soda.
What?
So the little daughter, she's like 7, is like playing the drums, and he's just like wailing on the electric guitar. It was so cute.
Oh my god, that kid did not pick a fucking Kim Mitchell song, though. And if she did, it would have been Patio Lanterns.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I know who that is.
That song, I fucking hate that song so much. Yeah. And that would have been so fun. That's such a dad song, because, like, where else would you find a dad in their natural habitat?
But he seemed like a younger dad that would have not necessarily known that song. So I don't know. Like,
oh, god, yeah. Definitely someone my age could have a 7-year-old easily.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
And it wouldn't even be gross.
So these kids are getting this, like, musical influence that, like, I don't even understand. That, like, I didn't even
Gramps,
get, like,
obviously threw that one in the mix
or something.
Yeah. Weird.
But it was extremely adorable, and all these kids were, like, so good
Gun
and
ho,
just trying
yeah.
so hard, and just, they were just drumming their hearts out. And so then at the very end, yeah, we got to be like, this is what you do when you're a grown-up,
and you're good
this
at
is how you really
no,
play.
This is what the teacher was saying. It's like, this is the ultimate goal, kids, right? Like, you get together with your friends, and
Allison,
you jam.
Our very special student, who is so old, and how is she here? She's so old.
She has a lot of adult students apparently,
yeah.
And they want to do like a full like adult drum recital at the Legion where they could like have beers and stuff.
I'm
and
coming
actually,
to that
like,
one.
Yeah, but this cool. was like just in the drum shop, and I don't know. It was just a very adorable experience. So I got to like set up my cello and sit on the little stage and like shred in front of the end. So like this one kid, I heard him like explaining to his grandma, "That's a cello," and no, that the pedals that she has, like those are. You know, they don't make it sound different, but they just make it sound louder so you can whatever. And but he didn't know what the looper was, and so then he's like, "What does that do?" I'm like, "Oh, it just repeats some cool stuff over and over." It's a Boss, the one with the two pedals.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking good with it.
Yeah.
I'm impressed every time.
So it was just very, very fun, though.
That's really great.
So do you run your cello, like, to your... Yeah, don't play footsie with me. Do you run your cello, like... Is it an electric cello?
No,
or is it
it's an acoustic.
Okay, so you have Do you, okay, yeah, yes. And then you have it run to the
looper? I run it through a DI, and then through the DI to the looper, and then back through the DI, and then out. Oh. To, like, condition the sound a little bit extra.
Just smooth it. Just make it all buttery.
It does make it really buttery.
Yeah. You know how to make stuff buttery.
Yeah, girl.
But anyway, it was just very fun to, like, kind of show off to some preteens.
It was pretty fun to pull the ticks off some kids.
That's totally my demo, right? Yeah. That's who I want to impress, right? Actually,
that's the impulse to say a fucked up thing is one of my favorites in the world, especially when you actually manage to hold it inside and then you have to tell your friend later, which is what happens with us all the time because we're trying not to be horrible people, but with each other.
Yeah.
There is a sacrosanct experience exactly. in there. But I always come back to, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but it's been a really long time, but I had a friend in high school who it was either 2002 or 2003, whenever it happened, she was just in the shower that morning, and she had like a brainwave and just went, those astronaut fucks are in for it now. And it was the same day as like the Columbia explosion that happened later. And she was just like washing her hair
and just
had like a gross voice in her head that said, those astronaut fucks are in for it now. And then, yeah.
And then she found out about that happened
like 2 hours later.
Oh, no, okay. that's magic.
Yeah, that's totally
psychic magic.
Jess was, yeah, she had the psychic. She had the shin.
That's exactly what that is.
The shinning. Don't be using it before, between 4 and 5.
That's Willie's time.
That's a good Scottish accent.
Yes, where have you been holding out? We've been trying to do Scottish accents all podcast.
That's my,
See, that was my blowing your dicks off you kids.
I was like, oh, you think you can do a groundskeeper, Willie? I got this. Yeah, we discovered that to do the Scottish accent, you have to get into character by saying, no, I'm not, in a Scottish accent, which is, no, I'm no.
No, I'm
no. No, I'm no. I'm no. You really gotta just lean into it. But I think every accent has a phrase word you can, or a phrase key that you can get into. With Irish, of course, it's a feedly deedly tum da tum da teedly teedly tum.
Oh, yeah.
Take that, Mark O'Keefe. What are you gonna do? You're not even here. You're gonna beat me up in Ireland? Fuck you.
Good play, chicken motherfucker. Let's make this happen.
Put a shillelagh up your butt. What are you gonna do? Anyway, I love the Irish.
So what's your podcast about?
Well,
I think we diverted
well, Chris,
from that
we,
a long
tried
time.
To talk about dolphins, Scottish dolphins, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah, sisters of slack.
I want, if we ever have anyone that could do fan art, I just want someone to, like,
just loft
a dolphin that just has that little speech bubble.
Bruna, she's not listening to this.
I'll just ask her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to find that clip from Finding Nemo where, you know, like, everybody's telling everybody about Nemo.
Yeah.
And then there's the dolphins, like, jumping into the water and talking. And it's going, oh, my Scottish noises.
Oh, okay. That's a great idea. So your podcast is called?
It's called The Taylor Morey Show because it's
very, very original.
You stole my line. I have very good...
A blue dick off. Very...
Sure did.
It's gone now.
I'm gonna disappoint so many people. I am very creative. So, yeah, it's a Taylor Morey Show, and usually a lot of the times it is just me, you know, blithering by myself, because I am a hermit. But
you live in Steve's.
Exactly. My girlfriend's on a lot of episodes because we live together, and my studio's in the living room, so...
And presumably she loves you.
Yeah, I hope so.
Does she come on to talk, or just, like, passing by, feel like, don't forget to get someone?
Oh, to talk. Like,
okay, nice.
Like, it is pretty small. Like, my computer and everything's right here, and then her chair's, like, right here, so I just have a second mic set up. I have a mic stand and a mic set up.
What do you think, Emily?
Yeah. She's basically doing, like, running commentary on your podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really
actually
cute.
Kind of fucking awesome.
That's very, very charming. I like that a lot. I'll have to check it out. The things that I originally wanted to talk about, we never really got into it, was like, why do we do it? Why do we do this? Why are we doing any of this?
I think for, like, the interview aspect for me, like, to have these people, like,
just
all
to
the
get to talk to cool people.
Yeah. I just want to talk to people I want to talk to.
Yeah.
That's really, it's a totally selfish thing. Yes, I think it'd be interesting for, like, other people to hear it, because with people that I am a fan of, like, I try to go, like, build on things that I've heard, or it's like, mm-hmm. oh, I've heard this fucking 5 million times because they have just stock questions, stock answers, and everything. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How can you find something slightly different that exactly. you could, like...
Mm-hmm. If I can Google it, I don't want to talk about it, pretty much.
You wanted to have, like, Nardwar interviews with people, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I should start doing the doo-doo-loo-doo.
Doo-doo.
I believe that's intellectual property at this point.
Probably.
God, if we could get Nardwar on our podcast.
He would totally do it.
I'm going to ask him. I'm gonna ask Nardwar.
You should do, like, a slightly, like... different version, like oot doodle oot oot.
Yeah, just backwards it.
Oot, yeah, oot. And Nardwar, all we're gonna do is ask you about really serious things, like what do you think about Trump declaring Jerusalem as the capital of Israel?
I don't think he's allowed to do that. Oh God,
it's
yeah.
another country. I don't know.
We yeah, so we do it. We do it regardless. We for our own pleasure. Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much, just because it feels good to make shit.
Yeah, exactly. And
what
like,
what else are you gonna do?
Yeah, and I really. And I actually produce Mark Hughes's podcast, Pulling the Trigger. And is this
sounds dark.
It is.
It's Mark.
Yeah. Like in the first four episodes, it was an escort, convicted murderer. Who's our third? And then like the fifth episode was like the drug dealer, and it got like Vancouver Courier attention.
Wow!
Because he was a fentanyl dealer.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So like I don't
so
have.
So these
to...
are the guests that he gets.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow! Crazy.
And I don't have to set up interviews. I don't have to think of questions. He just sends me this stuff, and I
make it sound good.
Edit, put it up, and everything like that. But like. Like I do more work on his than I do on mine because
yeah.
I don't edit, I just talk, and I don't really give a shit. It's supposed to be like more like a feel of like Opie and Anthony or something.
Like something conversational.
Just talk radio. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's just what I'm going for.
That's what we're doing all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we always think that we have a plan and then we never really do.
And
Chris
so,
is our engineer.
So yeah, so I asked you like what got you into stand up. You said George Carlin,
mm-hmm.
and then you said when you got into stand up, it was really hard for you to like get kind of to doing stuff. But then you eventually got into the scene, and
yeah.
then what actually made you start doing the podcast? Then after that point, was it like I need another outlet? You had said like because you just wanted to speak instead of writing, but
yeah.
How does that kind of gel together, I guess?
I think with stand-up, there's an expectation that you know, there's a laugh every 12 seconds or whatever the fuck it is. And I think the amateur stand-up system is an imperfect system. It's obviously, you know, it works, but it could work better or there are different things. But... in 5 minutes, there's not a lot of room to experiment or
mm-hmm.
to kind of take detours and see, just
to play in the space.
Yeah, to just be in the moment and
play
really...
with me.
But or to
that's
find...
what I'm gonna do with audiences now. I'm just gonna invite you to play with me.
Play with me in the space.
Yeah.
Just to find any nuance, I guess, to a thing, right? Because then it's like if you can draw it out for an hour.
Yeah.
Then you can really tease out that idea, and then eventually you can go back. It's the same way, like I love to free write stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then you just pick out the gems.
Yeah, yeah,
after
yeah.
After it's done, right?
Yeah. And sometimes, or you can, you know, I guess it's the opposite process of, like, a joke on Facebook or something, where it's like, you write a joke, but then you could, it could expand into something else and be something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Or you take the big thing and then narrow it down to something smaller, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was just interesting to do, and then since then it become, like, just a fucking... total, like, just gone down a rabbit hole of gear and shit. So, yeah.
Keeping it simple has been nice for us because this is extremely portable. Our
yes.
Rig. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we have invested in a few additional items, but don't really.
Yeah. I find that I'm surrounded by gearheads. Like,
yeah.
You've seen my studio, but this is my partner that has, like, all the many, many microphones. Like, whenever I get into, like, audio recording, it's like, there's too many. You know, too many patches, too many filters, too
many
things.
Knobs.
I just don't give a shit. I, like, tune out immediately. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't care. And I just want it to sound like I'm sitting in a big hall.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
With my cello or when we're recording, I just want it to sound like we're sitting around a, you know, table having a couple of bevvies together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all I want. I want simple production. And I'm astounded by the people that can sit there and, like, go through every single filter and be like, well, this, I'm going to listen to it all with this, and I'm going to listen to it all with this, and figure out the exact little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but, like, yourself, you were saying, like, you're going down, like, a gear rabbit hole, right?
Oh, yeah. And, like I mentioned earlier, that I've got guitars, and I've got, like, 5 or 6 pedals now, and I just like playing with this shit. Like, I think maybe more than comedian, my ideal, like, job would just to be follow a band around and just, like, press buttons and make things light up.
Audio tech.
Tech, yeah.
It's like, what does a sign keep cutting out in and out? It's like, Taylor's just in the back.
A good sound guy is a rare and beautiful.
Yes, and it needs all, like, it's, again, diversity of tactics, right? Where it's like, I cannot stand it. Like, I know that I have, like, a bunch of great pedals, and I just have one thing that I do with each of them, and it makes the sound that I want. I know that there's, like, 500 other possibilities that I could do with that exact setup to make a totally different sound, but I don't care.
I don't care!
Because I just want to do the thing that I do, and it's more about playing the instrument than anything.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a good sound tech would just, or, like, anyone that's creative with, like, any audio engineering could be like, I'll take the piece that you played, and I will put it through whatever, and it'll make it into this, like, epic, beautiful thing. And so we need both of those. Yes. We need, like, the artist and the engineer.
You will say, thank you. I am
and
so glad you're such a dork.
And the scientist, yes, exactly. Like, so there's
a scientist,
isn't that,
and the audio tech,
isn't
each
that
must know his part.
Sorry, go ahead.
Fuck you. Isn't that a meme going around? It's like art student, humanity students, and STEM students.
I saw that.
Right, but it's like the overlap is so much more. Like they go together. Like it's a perfect.
Fuck, if we could just learn to talk
harmony.
To each other a little bit.
This is a problem.
Hey, the stuff you do is valid. The stuff you do is valid. Mm-hmm. Let's not kill each other for a second.
I mean, I have a hard enough time convincing like clients that don't know music. Like, when I play cello for, like, a wedding.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I want this. And I'm like, well, that's a full orchestra, and I'm a solo cellist, so I'm going to have to get you to dial it back a little bit.
I am one instrument with 4 strings.
But then when I'm talking to, like, an audio tech when I'm recording, I'm like, well, I need it to sound like a blah, blah, blah. And they're just like, what is that? Like, I need to figure out, like, a common language. So over the last, like, I think I've been recording for 10 years, and so I've gotten a lot better at communicating with text and like, here's where the mic should go and here's where this should go, like, for my best sound. But then it's up to you to like tell me what to do, and the producer then has to like have the right language to communicate with the musician.
Yeah,
because if they're just like, that wasn't good, I'm gonna get you to do it again, I'm gonna auto-tune it, it's like, that just fucking kills all the spark in me. So like, figure out another. So we need to find a common language, you guys.
I just need to have like an interpreter.
We need like artistic Esperanto.
We need that.
That's my poor name.
You have to grow a mustache. Hello, I am
artistic Esperanto.
Yeah, je am. Esperanto. I remember reading something in Esperanto, and I could understand it completely.
God help you try to speak it.
Yeah, but it's just, it's a mashup of all the European languages. It's like, it's fucking weird, but it works, actually. It never got off the ground, though.
God damn it.
But, anyway, what I was saying is I value folks that, like, will sit and, like, play with all the pedals. Like, friends of mine that have their pedal boards downstairs in the basement right now with, like, 20 pedals, and they know for this song I need to hit this one, and then it'll be this and this together, and then for the solo I'll hit this, 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 and this, and then I'm just like, I just want one button that makes me go, wah!
That's my favorite button.
So then I found it, and it's called a Big Muff.
Yes. It sure is.
Big Muff. Was that, Big Muff is the...
distortion pedal. Yeah. Good. Or fuzz pedal, yeah.
Fabulous. Well, is that about take us to the end of this?
Yeah, man, I don't know. I feel like I just talked over you then for the whole last part.
You just got pumped up.
I got super pumped up. Yeah, I'm ready to go play some more music downstairs. I don't know why I'm making a beating you up motion.
Don't beat me up, please. I'll have to do that thing where I put my hand on your forehead and you take wild swings in my general direction.
Ready to go blow some dicks off some kids.
We can't title the episode that.
Blow dicks off kids.
Blow dicks off kids. Not a recommendation from the CX. Whatever Taylor tells you to do, it's not endorsed by us. Whether you hear it on his podcast or this one.
Even though the idea was originally.
Yeah, really. So, brought to you by Salvation Army. Blow dicks off kids.
Oh, no! That's very
On that note, Thank you so much for being here, Taylor.
You're very funny. Go see your stand-up.
Where... Go see your own stand-up,
fucko. Wait, hold on.
Okay, well, yeah, check Taylor Marie out, TaylorMurrayShow.com.
Or TaylorMurray.com, either or.
M-O-O-R-E-Y.
This episode is coming out on the 19th of December, so if you have any shows coming up in between that, like... weird before Christmassy time. Do you
I don't have any booked ones. I might just do some open mics. All right. But yeah.
Right on. Rock and roll. Keep on the grind, bud.
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck yeah. Okay, your sister's a psych.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Oh my god.